welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
These are interesting and sort of dark times for America and particularly for the healthcare industry. You holding up okay?
Holding up okay in Athens, Georgia. So far, we're recording this on March 30th. There have been 35 cases, and I'm working with the local community to do a number of things, but one of them is to track new cases by day in the surrounding county so we can start to make some decisions in a few weeks about how and when to loosen restrictions. So it's certainly we're all trying to learn as much as we can. And I really appreciate all the docs out there and nurses out there and PAs and nurse practitioners who are doing such great work.
It's amazing the conditions that everybody's working under, the pressure, and also trying to balance doing what they need to do at work and coming home and being safe and protecting their families and things that it ain't easy. We're going to do something a little bit different today in this episode of Poems. Typically, as listeners know, we take one study that has already been published and sort of dissect it to death. You've got a number of studies that you've been keeping your eyes on, some of them in not particularly highly visible journals, but I think that they have some importance to our listeners. So perhaps we'll choose two today and see if they've got relevance, and at least listeners will be aware of what the studies show. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Let's start with the first one, which is a case series.
Yeah, this was a case series of five patients, and we don't normally report on case series of five patients, and they normally don't get published in JAMA, but this was published a few days ago in JAMA online only. A case series identified five patients with severe COVID-19 pneumonia and ARDS who were mechanically ventilated and had a PaO2, FiO2 ratio less than 300. They were all given convalescent sera. Fever resolved in 4 out of 5 patients within 3 days, and ARDS resolved in 4 out of 5 by 12 days after the transfusion of convalescent sera. So at the time of this writing, 3 of the patients had been discharged from the hospital and 2 were in stable condition. Now, this is a case series of 5 patients. There was no comparison or control group. It's early days, but this does appear to be at least promising, and there are control trials underway in China, and I believe also in the U.S. at several sites where they are comparing this to other treatments looking more closely at the results. But this is kind of the initial report in JAMA published late last week.
There's been a lot discussed around two approaches to treatment. One is acute treatment, perhaps with medications that might affect the virus, and the other is to augment the body's immune system. This falls into that latter category. Do we use antibodies to treat other acute infections these days?
Well, they have been used, you know, selectively with some other viral infections, with some success. And, it makes sense biologically, of course. And a lot of it depends on how strong the response is, the immune response is in the surviving patients. Are they generating enough antibodies? You know, do they have a strong enough antibody response? And that appears to be the case with the novel coronavirus.
So presumably somebody gets infected, in this case in China, they develop antibodies. Those antibodies begin to build. I know that it doesn't affect the person who's donating their sera. Those antibodies get replenished quite quickly. But how long does it take post-infection before someone has enough antibodies to be able to be therapeutically beneficial to someone else?
Yeah, I think in this study, they were looking at several weeks after recovery. So there's going to be a lag as the cases are peaking and surging here. It's going to take a while for a number of cases. So we were also looking at another study that was published in a journal I've never heard of, reported on a poem from. Again, these are different times, so we're going to take a different approach. This was published online in the Journal of Zhejiang University, and it's the initial randomized trial evaluating hydroxychloroquine. As you know, a lot of folks have been talking about this antimalarial chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. So, tragically, some people have even tried to dose themselves with it. with fatal consequences. There was some data from in vitro studies with the earlier SARS and MERS viruses that it may be helpful. We don't really have any in vivo real human being evidence till now. And this is the first report that I've seen. Again, it was a small randomized trial in Shanghai, China, with 30 patients with COVID-19 who were randomized to hydroxychloroquine, 400 milligrams a day for 5 days, plus usual care versus usual care alone. At 7 days, there was no difference in the rates of negative viral swabs by PCR. It was 87% in the hydroxychloroquine group, 93% in the control group, so you know, one patient difference out of 15. There was no difference in the incidence of severe disease, which occurred in one patient in the hydroxychloroquine group and none in the usual care group. No difference in time to discharge or time to being afebrile. So larger trials are needed. And at last count, there were, I think, 23 trials of chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine underway in China alone. But these results, which are the first published results, aren't encouraging. It's not a nail in the coffin for this treatment. There may be issues around dose. There may be issues around timing of treatment. And so that's what these other trials are looking at. And we'll be watching closely for those to appear. What's happening is a lot of these studies are being done very rapidly. You know, it's a very rapidly moving illness. So we will expect to see studies in the next month or 2 months published. What's also happening is that they're being put up on what are called preprint servers. So the submitted article is put on a preprint server where you can read it. It has not been peer reviewed. It has not been edited. It has not had any kind of validation or verification in the more traditional process, but it is up there for us to look at.
I'm surprised that you don't monitor JZJU.
You know, there are a number of journals that are Chinese language journals. This one was published in English, so we were able to read the full report.
Anyways, it is interesting. You know, the president and the White House certainly were early adopters of this hydroxychloroquine idea. Anthony Fauci's been skeptical from day one, but it has led lots of our peers to prescribe this, according to the New York Times, not only for patients to stockpile, but also for themselves and their families. So it is something that we need to watch carefully, but it calls into question sort of how we're behaving in the face of this epidemic.
You know, we need to be remembering that this is also used for other conditions like lupus and obviously malaria. I just read today that one of the companies that makes it is donating 30 million doses to replenish those supplies. But please, let's save those. If this turns out to be effective, then let's make sure those are still available for our patients.
Great. Thanks, Mark, for doing a special focus here on COVID. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks.
All right. Look forward to it.
Stay well.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.